Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 793, Flight Departed, recorded live on August 5th, 2021. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I am Haas.
And we are back after a very, very short Infinite Flight weekend, as it seems. I didn't get to play to it too much. I know, Haas, you played quite a bit of it. GT, you got to play quite a bit of it for Fraggin' Friday as well, so I'm going to be leaning on you guys for most of the input because I had a D&D campaign that I was starting the same weekend and I didn't get to play nearly as much as I wanted to, which made me a little sad.
Priorities.
Life.
I mean, it's priorities against obligation. So, yeah. Anyways. The flight has overall gotten a very positive response from what I've seen online from all the news outlets. Although I will have to say, your favorite content creator over there, Haas, not too keen on what he saw.
You're talking about Doc?
Yeah.
So
I thought I'd just throw that out there just as a jib.
I do think his commentary is fair because he also did say he hasn't played it.
Right. Right.
And for the last couple weeks, he has mentioned he's done watching it. He has to get his hands on it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's been fair in that regard. And so when you're watching something, he's talking, all of his feedback has purely been from a spectator point. And personally, that has been my biggest like concern is spectator. How does this game fare for us as a spectator to draw in people beyond just like, hey, this is a free game on Steam or the Xbox or Xbox Game Pass. How do we get people constantly engaging with the game? And streaming and YouTube content creation is such a big part of that pie now of interaction with your game. So I am fully on board with his concern, not panic, but definitely a concern on how does that fare. Especially beyond esports, because I think HCS, my just quick impression was this game is going to be a very fun esport to watch. I mean, we've already seen Shiwei kind of like showing techniques on the slide.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Apex players will adapt pretty quickly because that is kind of like a slide feature. But I do think the multiplayer HCS competition is going to be very exciting to watch. But and so I think people will definitely tune in for that. But I don't want us to fall into like what Rainbow Six is, where people watch the esports events, but they're not tuning in as so much on the Monday through Friday,
just presentations.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just kind of poking a little jib, just because
I know I just thought I would add a little
conversation
dialogue to that.
Yeah, but for the most part, it seems like, I mean, I really haven't seen any negative press about the flight from this weekend. Everyone seems very happy with the things that we've got, seem very content with all the things that we actually got to play around with. We did get PvP for a couple of hours on Sunday night. Missed that for achieving Halo, unfortunately, so I got a few games in with the Spartan bots, and I think I'm pretty much against all the bots. I think we managed to win. So I don't think I lost the game for the few that I played.
Yeah, did anybody not get a Staketacular every single game?
I had a few games where I didn't get it.
Really?
Probably for the Spartan bots or the Otis T bots?
Both, actually.
Okay. Yeah, the Marine bots were very easy.
Yeah, I didn't really. I jumped into ODST bots.
Between all three of them. I couldn't tell the difference between the three. Like, my final scores were almost always the same.
Yeah, I could tell a difference in the motion of them. The Spartan bots moved around a lot more than the ODST bots. I don't know about the Marine bots because I didn't get to play against them. I know that they're, you know, they're good at the whole, you know, crouch shot deal. Mm-hmm. You know, they do that very well, and they're lethal with grenades.
I felt like their grenades were stronger than mine.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but
compensating
90% of the time I died to a bot, it was to a grenade.
Yeah,
because they placed were throwing it Halo perfectly. CE
nukes, and I was throwing ODST grenades. Apparently, like I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it's like they knew where you were going on the map.
Yeah,
I think the mechanics is just. You have to get used to how things are different. Because one of the things for me, just with the few games that I played, I could not get my aiming figured out at all.
It took me a few games to get it, to get comfortable with it. And, you know, of course, I had tweaked controls a little bit. But overall, I liked it.
I will say, I've always been a Halo controller player. Even through this MCC PC stuff. I've had 10 to 20 years on these games with a controller. I'm sticking with a controller, but I've gone into Infinite. I'm like, I'm going to convert to mouse and keyboard. I've done it with all the other games, Call of Duty, whatever. And for some reason, I don't know if it's because I couldn't get my frames dialed in, you know, just because maybe that hasn't been optimized yet, but running the 40 to 60 frames on mouse and keyboard just felt awful. And I just couldn't do it. I switched to my controller and I turned all the dead zones to zero. And it felt like I was riding a bike. And my hit percentage went from the 20 to 30 range to 45 to 60 range on the hit accuracy. I did have one time where I started a game mouse and keyboard and I got irritated. So I just turned on the controller. And when I turned on the controller, I don't know if anybody's ever played Counter-Strike on PC with a controller, but you have no aim assist. And that's what it felt like with my controller until the next game. I had to like completely close the game, reboot it, and then my controller was acting properly with aim assist and things like that. But my impression on the tech test, the controller definitely felt better, but I'm not going to put that nail in that coffin on mouse and keyboard, because I do think once this game gets better optimization, especially on refresh rate and, you know, all the, you know, the glitz and glamour of PC performance, I do think it'll be a much better experience for mouse and keyboard players. Cause I have a lot of mouse and keyboard players that said they loved it, but I don't know. I can only speak for myself in that regard right now.
Yeah. I want to get better at mouse and keyboard. It's just a matter of taking the time to actually do it and be consistent with it.
Take your bumps and bruises.
Yeah. Yeah. But for the most part, just stuck with controller. I don't think I tried mouse and keyboard at all just because I didn't have the chance to. But it threw off my MCC game. I went in to do challenges on Tuesday to get the last bit of the exchange for this season purchased. And it took me about an hour to get my aim fixed on MCC. So I don't know. Either I was just doing something bad, or the aim system in Infinite is vastly different than any other Halo game.
It definitely feels different. I definitely feel like they're trying to balance the mouse and keyboard versus the controller. That's how I felt with the aiming. But turning off those dead zones for movement and aim definitely helped me kind of dial in better. And I don't know why that is, but that definitely helped me kind of get over that. Cause when all those dead zones were on default, it did not feel right to me at all.
Felt really sluggish.
Yeah.
I did the same thing.
I didn't turn them all the way down. I turned them a little bit down. Maybe I should turn them all the way down for the next flight.
Yeah. I just turned it all the way down to zero. Gotcha. What field of view were you running, Haas?
I defaulted to 110.
I was at 105.
That's where I've been playing MCC and almost all my shooters. I play at that 105, 110 range. And that's kind of like my good comfort zone now.
Mm-hmm.
I did try the first game without touching it. And man, don't like being that close. I think I'm past that.
There was one time where I had like restarted the build or something, or it was one day to the next, and I went in, didn't even think to check my settings because settings got reset so often, like almost mm-hmm. when you restarted the settings.
Yeah, set. Every time.
And it's like, wait, why do I feel so slow? And I look at, it's like, oh crap, it went back down to 78 for FOV. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah. I mine would always reset like different settings. Like my field of view would be perfect one game, but all my key assignments would be different.
Yeah. Right?
My
yeah.
button remapped and mm-hmm. like it was the weirdest thing, but you know, yeah. after I figured that out after the third time of booting it up, you just go in and check that, knock it off the list.
I think I had to redo my I had to redo my controller binds 3 times. Yeah. And I only played 6 games.
Actually, yeah, I didn't have that problem. I heard people that were having the problem, but I'd go in and check all my settings and they were the same. They were. Of course, I was playing on Xbox, so that could be different.
Which Xbox were you on?
Xbox One X, which it performed admirably on. I mean, it did just fine.
Were you playing in 4K or 1080?
1080.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't own any 4K anything.
Okay.
It's for what for my use, it's overrated.
Okay.
I mean, I set a foot and a half from the monitor. 4K is not going to make it any better for
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Right.
But I also did fire it up on an S, Xbox One S, with the same field of view, the 105. And there was a little bit of difference in picture quality, but it wasn't that noticeable. And the game ran just fine. I mean, it was very smooth. I didn't get a large range of, you know, FPS. Of course, granted, I had no way to measure it being on Xbox, but, you know, it wasn't, you know, noticeably moving up and down. I suck against bots, so, you know. Anyway.
I think there was a picture out floating around somewhere that basically said, like, what each Xbox could output. So I think, like, the original Xbox One could do 1080 at 30. And then, like, the Xbox One X or S could do 1080 at 60 or something like that. And then, obviously, mm-hmm. 4K 60 for the Xbox Series X.
Yeah. But it you know, on the Xbox, it ran really smooth. I was really impressed. They did feel like they changed the aim assist values for controller.
I heard it's not as strong.
Yeah, it wasn't really pulling the reticle to the target as much as it feels like in the other games.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I mean, it probably took me about eight games to get used to the sidekick to where I could, you know, consistently land shots.
I really didn't care for the sidekick.
I didn't either, but
it had its moments when
you
can't,
when you don't know where all the weapons are, you use what you got.
Like,
it's better than the Halo 2 Magnum.
Definitely.
Okay, hold on. Time out. I had this discussion with Mending yesterday.
Okay.
Because everybody was talking about the Halo 2 Magnum, and he didn't even remember that Halo 2 had a Magnum.
That bad, so, huh?
Okay. If you did not play Halo 2 pre-patch, pre-1.1, the pistol was useless. Fully agree with you there. But if you played pre-1.1, when the BR was actually strongly viable, that pistol, dual-wielded or combined with any Covenant weapon to drain the shield, that thing shredded the rate of fire. You would honestly be dropped any close range battle.
Yeah,
you were done for.
But you have to understand from my point of view, which I played before patch and after patch. After patch, the pistol became useless, and that's the way.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the way everybody remembers that pistol. So
I did not pre-patch.
That's the mistake. Yes. The after patch is the way Halo 2 is. I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But classic Halo 2 pistol after patch is definitely weaker than the sidekick. I'm not saying it's totally useless, because even after patch with a plasma pistol to rip shields off and the pistol, you could do decent if you were decent, you know, if you were a decent shot. You know, you could still two tap headshot, if I remember right.
Yep.
But it required something extra to make it viable, because they tuned it to be dual wield. Now, if dual wielding wasn't in Halo 2, I'm sure the pistol would have been a lot stronger than it was. It would have been probably more along the lines of the sidekick. But the deal is the sidekick, it stands alone pretty well.
Yeah,
is it the best weapon in Halo in Infinite? No. It's nowhere near as strong as the Halo 5 pistol.
So in my terms of ranking for the sidekick, the only time I ever had that gun by the end of the flight, are we calling it a flight or tech test? Either way, whatever. By the end of that,
either one.
The only time I ever had that sidekick equipped was because I just spawned and I haven't swapped it out with any other gun. The BR was standalone the best universal weapon.
Yes, I agree.
The most powerful gun was the Needler. The Needler is a power weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Needler over any of those shotguns. The Heatwave.
Yeah, the Bulldog is weird.
The Bulldog, I thought the Bulldog, man, that Bulldog is just not,
like, what?
It does not get that shoddy fix in for
me
at all.
It's like, what did, like, I've seen some clips of people using it and it seems like it's like a normal shotgun to them, but then it's like when I use it or other people use it, it's like you're throwing pebbles at people.
And Ian's saying in the chat, it's like the AA-12, and I totally respect that's supposed to be what it is, but the rate of fire is either too slow or the range is pretty weak.
Mm-hmm. If they're going to have it that short a range, they need to up the fire rate.
It's a shotgun. Like, I should be able to, like, near point blank shoot somebody and they should die.
Right.
Yeah. If it was one close, 2 to 3 mid range, like short mid, not mid, short mid, I think I'd be more satisfied with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But the Heatwave, I don't see where that gun fits as something a player is going to pick up long term.
Yeah. So did you get to play around with it? Because I don't think I actually got to pick it up.
And, you know, you do the vertical, you do the horizontal, whatever. And, you know, yeah, you can do damage with it, but at point blank, that thing doesn't drop you in one shot.
Yeah, it's got an odd pellet spread on it that just kind of makes it almost very difficult to get a kill with.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do a whole, I used it a couple of times and it was over my head. So I just quit picking it up.
I do have to clarify. I've only played against bots. I thought the PvP was going to be a little bit longer than 2 hours. So I got on at 9:05 to boot up PvP and it was gone.
Yeah.
So I've only played bots. And so my impressions are strictly against bots right now. And all I have for PvP is watching gameplay or talking to people that played it and what their thoughts and impressions were. But I do think all these guns are going to behave differently. I am kind of scared about how perfect this BR is right now in terms of all the other guns, because I just feel like I love this BR and I don't want them to change anything about it. And so I have to be very careful with these words because I don't want to be crucified for this, but the other guns have to be scaled up to it a little bit.
Well, it seemed like the Needler was shredding. Play.
Well, yeah, but then there's only one Needler.
I'm just saying, and, like, I get what you're saying. I think there's some other weapons that might just be about, like, right.
The BR, AR, Needler, and plasma pistol were my favorite guns to pick.
The AR is nice.
I know there's conversation around the AR, and I don't think we really need to discuss it because I think it's such, like, a petty disagreement right now. but it could. It's.
I'm just curious what the argument
is. The scope, the no D scope on it, and the range effectiveness.
Well, there's not. But, I mean, I think AR, there's not a scope on it. It's just the HUD zoom, right?
It's what they call it in Halo 5?
The smart scope. Zooming.
Smart scope. It's like, yeah, it's a smart scope link, whatever they call it.
Okay.
Smart link. Thank you.
Smart link. Okay.
Yeah, so I believe that, the sidekick, and I think there's another gun that all are using smart link. And those are not de-scoped or unsmart linked in gameplay. So if you get shot, you won't be taken out of that.
So
where if it's a gun with an actual optic on it, you will be taken out in like your more classic traditional Halo way.
So I thought they changed that. That was
If they,
I didn't think it was smart link in Infinite. Because I was watching Shyway's analysis video when they had the stream, and when he was watching the competitive side of things, I didn't think it was smart link. I'm gonna go look. You guys can keep.
This is probably another thing I could be crucified for, but I think it is important long term for Halo to have a viable automatic weapon in the game sandbox. And this is so far, I think, the most perfect way for it with some minor tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll get there. Like, I do think increase the spread at range and maybe make it more effective close range would be the best. But it's like such a minor tweak right now that it could stay the same and I'd be okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting to see what it will do when it comes to like BTB. Yeah, that's what's really, I'm really curious about. The once we get a little bit more range to where the other weapons, you know, like the DMR or something like that, can be compared with. Right now, the battle rifle feels like the universal weapon. I mean, you pick up a BR, you're good short range, you're good long range. But we haven't really had a big map. You know, they've been relatively small maps.
Well, that's where I want the BR. I think Halo is best when the BR is going to be your best, like, mid-short, long, kind of like right in that, if it was like a scale of 1 to 100, mm-hmm. if it's that perfect 25 to 75 coverage gun.
Well, like I said,
especially for competitive play.
I want to get it on a big map and see how it feels on a big map too. Where you can have range. And if it's still this lethal at long range, then maybe we need to adjust it. You know, we haven't been on a map big enough to get outside of what its set range is.
Yeah.
Because
one of my buddies last night was saying maybe remove the red reticle. So when you like the range of the red reticle on the BR, just remove that slightly. Like your bullets can still go further, but maybe remove some of that hit scan aim assist at further range. Like at a certain point, that gets removed. I wouldn't mind them testing that so we could kind of try that out.
And like I said, you know, I just want to get it on a big map and see what it feels like. To see if it continues to feel like it does now, then changes probably should be made, because then it'll be the dominant weapon on all maps.
I think a lot of my feelings for this game are going to be dependent on how things play in BTB and in the competitive sense. And they were very clear that this was the intro casual experience that we were kind of getting a peek into that vision of.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will tweak, but I think just this stage of my gaming life, BTB is going to be so vital to where I'm at as a gamer from the modes we know that are going to be there. I think BTB is going to be such a important thing for most of us on how these weapons behave and interact with other players on the map. So,
yeah, Halo has always relied on BTB for that population sustainment, because that's just your for the average Joe, that's the place you go into if you just want to go in and have everything that Halo has to offer at your disposal. It's I mean, aside from like Super Fiesta that Halo 5 has, before then it was big team was just that party mode to go into matchmaking with.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting for kind of to go on the weapon discussion a little bit. The weapon racks were kind of interesting. I know we've seen them before, but in a way I kind of liked those because you could see what weapons were coming up or if like the rack was closed, like you could kind of get a sense of when weapons were about to respawn or something like that. I thought it was kind of an interesting new mechanic of
I really liked it for like the Bulldog and guns like that. I don't know how I felt with the BR. I kind of felt like a weapon rack would be cool for like it to open up and you get to see your rocket launcher there. It opening up and there's being a BR or a commando, because I do feel like a commando is going to be kind of like that.
I saw a commando in one of those racks.
Yeah, I think it's like a tier 2 weapon, which is perfect for it. But I kind of just feel like rockets and sniper would look better there, maybe.
Well, so on Life Fire, the sniper in the middle.
Yeah, it's spawned on the
pad. Yeah,
spawned on the floor pad.
Well, so did rockets.
Maybe it's just the old. I think it's just probably the old school traditionalist in me where weapons were on the floor. I've heard people say, I don't want to look down for my guns anymore. I've never even thought of that being an issue, but maybe it is, and I'm just out of touch. But
honestly, kind of yeah, mentality. I've never really cared about them being on the floor because I look at them at a distance. I know where they are. As I'm walking up to them, I'm holding X to pick it up. You know, I don't have to look down. I just, you know, as soon as I see the weapon prompt, my character picks up the weapon.
Yeah.
I don't mind them being on the wall. Does make them a little bit more visible. It's kind of a nice aesthetic.
Yeah, but, I think it plays into kind of Halo either Lords way. A little bit too.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
as long as the weapons are spawning in a set location on a set timer, I really don't care if they're on the floor or on the wall. I get what Haas you're saying. It kind of showcases the weapon a little bit more for like the sniper and the rocket launcher or the skewer or any other of the big power weapons. Yeah. But it looks like they're doing, they want to kind of showcase those on those, the weapon pads.
It definitely doesn't break the game. And I love the blue timer on all these weapon pads on the wall and the ground. Even I think for the ability or not the ability, the equipment pickups, those are all there. I do like that. I think that is a nice, subtle visual cue that like, hey, I can run by, I can look. Okay, I got 10 seconds. You know, once we kind of get these things a little bit more timed, we'll be able to look at those bars and have that time a little bit better. But that was such a nice touch to those things. Because I really hated, weapon up in 10 seconds or whatever. I didn't like that. I'd rather things be visual and knowledge based.
Well, I mean, if you had your little AI buddy, like your AI buddy said power weapons were incoming.
I could never hear my AI buddy, like outside of like non-combat moments. And, they'd be like, wow, cool, triple. Like my AI felt really non-existent.
I noticed the AI in there. It wasn't like intrusive, like the Halo 5 announcer guy and gal were, not the Jeff Stitzer, but the other stuff. And then, talking about Jeff Stitzer, it got that classic announcer back. It's not the flashy Halo 4, Halo 5 stuff. It's a lot more of that classic style announcer voice, which is just so nice.
Yeah, I really liked Cirque. That was probably Cirque and Butler were probably my two favorite AI companion,
I had
Lumi. Whatever.
You had Lumi.
Yeah, after about 5 minutes, I just was ignoring it anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I get very frustrated with a lot of audio information coming. I'm kind of like Haas. I like visuals because, when I have audio going, I'm listening for footsteps. And I really don't want a lot of extra commentary in that feed that I have to wade through. You know, in like Halo 5, I turned off Spartan Chatter. because I found that it was covering up too many other sounds. You know, just the sound of a grenade hitting the floor or footsteps behind you, stuff like that. I mean, it's a nice addition, and there's a lot of information the Spartan Shadowlord give you, but it's not information that you can't visually see as well. It just seems over redundant to me, and that's just the way I play. Having Jeff Stitzer do, you know, the metal callouts is great. I do wish the medals were a little larger.
Yep,
they're hard. They're next big kind of. You can miss them pretty easily. I would like to see a little bit more artistic expression on them. I mean, some of the medals are kind of meh. You look at the metal.
Like they were small.
Yeah. You look at
like I could see them and they didn't clutter my HUD or anything.
Yeah.
And that was nice, but I wanted to see some more personality out of them.
Mm-hmm.
For a game that seems to be kind of like dialing it back to our roots, I don't feel like they brought the medals with it in the current form. And that very well could be placeholders or, you know, unpolished things. As we all know, this, what we saw is 2 months old and things very well are probably very different. But they definitely, from what we've seen and played, I feel like that didn't get dialed back. I don't want to say brought back. I think dialed back is the better way of putting this Halo Infinite experience. Is it dialing back towards classic, but it's still keeping some, you know, modern roots and grounded with eyes to the future for this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I think Halo 3 had the best metal presentation out of all the games. And then the Halo Reach probably had like the best options of metals available.
Yeah.
So like the way that the metals kind of spun in and then popped a little bit in Halo 3, that was like really, really nice. And then Halo Reach just had all the new fun stuff to go with it. So definitely want to see bigger medals because, like you said, GT, you could easily miss the medals that were in there because they're so tiny.
Yeah.
And they're as tiny as the little markers that you had for the weapon pad timers or equipment on the field. So, definitely something that the community has been... I mean, for the number of things that the community has been vocal about, it's very minor things. Like, overall, the response has been very positive, which is a a very welcomed viewpoint from the community.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that I've listened to, now keep in mind that list has gotten a lot shorter, especially after the pop-in gate with the original trailer for Halo Infinite. Everybody that I've listened to, I mean, they haven't been just gushing about Halo Infinite. They've been very respectful. They've been stating, didn't quite like this. It could use a little work, but overall it's a great, they had a lot of fun. So that's nice. You know, I'm hearing a lot more people be constructive about their criticisms and not be mean.
That's good.
Or I know more than you do because I'm the gamer and, stuff like that.
Even some of the most controversial voices, I feel, have been very, I don't know what the word is, but they've carried good dialogue. Mm-hmm.
They haven't been aggressive.
Their impression. Yeah, it's been very like, let's discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a good sign for this game, that people can have discussions without bashing one another or anything. I think that's been nice to see. I think that does speak volumes to what we're seeing at the core of this gameplay loop that 343 is bringing this time around. I think that is a good testament to the work that they've put in. I think that extra year of work probably has helped immensely. There's still definitely things I need to see. I'm still looking for that thing that they're going to bring to the table that is like, this is our thing that we're going to bring to the competitive first person shooter space or the shooter space. That's going to say, oh, this game is copying what Halo did. Or, you know, this is a feature that Halo did and now other shooters are bringing it in. I'm waiting to see that right now from 343. And I'll give them time, you know, right now. Nail the core components, fine, whatever. Especially on the road to launch. If that's what you need to nail, nail it. Because we got to all have our center, and this is right now is our center. Is a solid campaign, which we hope we're getting. A solid 4v4 experience, a solid big team experience. And, you know, for those people that like Race and Forge and stuff, they can have that too. But like...
Duquesne.
Yeah. But like, you know, right now, I think they are just here to prove we understand the core Halo and what Halo is. And now it's time to start. After they've shown and proved that, that's when it's time to like, and now this. And that's what I'm waiting for right now is the now this.
Right.
But wait, there's more. That's what I want.
It's like, because Halo has always innovated from game to game. And that's what, I mean, between game and game, you should be innovating something somewhere. So it's kind of like, what's that next special sauce that 343 has cooked up for Halo that'll bring people in?
Right.
Like for Halo 5, it was
Warzone.
Warzone. I mean, absolutely. They tried to make it breakout for competitive, but that just flopped. But yeah. Warzone has a certain amount of people that are into it.
It has its audience for sure. And I do think the Warzone mode was a few tweaks and changes away from really being something special. And I even on a viewership level, I think Halo 5 just kind of just missed the boat of the big viewership train. Because, I mean, a lot of Halo 5 content was, hey, we just bought 5,000 gold packs and we're going to open them. That's not going to be sustainable content
for so long.
Yeah, like now content now is, look at this gun blueprint, watch this gameplay, you know, hey, look at this mode where I can interact with you. You can interact with me, but I'm still playing the game. I think Warzone could have been that as just its core gameplay, but they kind of just missed some of the features to really have it there. It was a good experience and a fun experience, but after kind of people figured out how to kind of make matches not as fun or entertaining, a lot of people in the scene kind of left it before it really got a chance to blow up.
Last weapon thing, I guess, for me to bring up, the hammer. That hammer.
I don't like it.
That hammer is very different.
It's very strong, but the wind-up part of it, I just couldn't get.
Yeah, it's... Right.
Does that break griff ball? I'm not a griff baller by any means.
Oh, yeah, that.
But, like, I feel like that windup just totally changes how griff ball is played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, at this point, I'm almost thinking that they're going to have a separate hammer for griff ball.
It's like going from a, you know, softball underhand pitching to overhand pitching.
Yep.
Like, it's just such a difference.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely, you definitely got to think ahead when you're using that weapon,
mm-hmm.
because it's not the, you know, run around, just smash things with it. It does a lot of damage. It's got pretty decent range when you do finally get it to swing, but I just could not get the hang of that hammer.
I mean, for the amount of damage that it doesn't, I guess it kind of makes sense about like the time to take it to swing. But
yeah, I mean, it's balanced.
Dang, it's slow.
Because the extra swing offsets the amount of damage it does. But I think I would rather have less damage and faster swing.
I would love if they do like an Atriox or a Tartarus hammer that behaves differently than the other two. Maybe they're weaker at the range and stuff like that, but they're quicker to equip, quicker to swing. In the more traditional hammer sense that we've known so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be fun. That'd be cool ways to kind of like this hammer that this brute used was different in this way compared to that one that we had. I think that that'd be a good way to do that, because I mean, maybe 343 is moving on from Griffball. I don't know. But this hammer and what I've known of Griffball they're not compatible.
Yeah. I don't see 343 completely forgoing Griffball. That just doesn't seem like their MO. So I'm thinking there's probably some other hammer tweak or a different version of the hammer that we'll see.
We've already seen them do it with energy swords, so.
Yeah.
We've seen them do it with hammers, too, in Halo 5. So, you know, this hammer is not one I like to use.
Sure.
I found it fun to use, but it definitely doesn't have a place in competitive. It would definitely be in the casual experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
But, yeah.
And Ian, you're probably right. Like, I would imagine they bring variants back to Infinite.
I hope they do, or Super Fiesta is dead.
With how popular Super Fiesta is, I'd be surprised if they don't.
I mean, they claim to have a long roadmap, and without evolving things,
yeah,
you can't complete that roadmap.
We are going to just have to wait and see.
Yep.
How it turns out.
Fear the pink mist, though.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that I was getting hit by those projectiles. That thing was
until you got exploded. So powerful.
Those things are sneaky. Yeah,
until I was dead.
Well, and there's not even like the pink mist either. It's just your
Like until I watched a clip in slow motion, I was like, "Oh, you can see the needles coming out of that."
Mm-hmm. Thing. Yeah, they're not like, nearly as obvious as they have been in previous games.
It's like a submachine gun now. But with like nuke rounds
and tracing bullets.
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of, you know, when you used to dual wield Halo 2 needlers and you get that sync going to where they would just like empty in 0.5 of a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was wicked.
It kind of reminded me of the Halo 2 multiplayer demo that Joe Staten did at E3, like 04. On the Zanzibar tutorial where he whipped out the dual needlers, it kind of reminded me of that needler. Like, it drew inspiration from that needler more than anything, just because it was so fast and you go boom at the end. And I
have to admit, it's very satisfying. It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
Did anyone notice the ammo counter on the back of the needler?
Yeah.
I was too busy shooting people. I was just having too much fun shooting people. I wasn't really looking at the guns.
Gotcha. Equipment. So, it didn't seem like a lot of the equipment that we've seen before was in there. I think the most I saw was the drop wall, the grapple shot, overshield, and active camo.
Yeah.
Did anyone else get any of those? Which drop wall... I don't get the point of drop wall. It takes so long for it to deploy.
I think it's more of a... Yeah,
that wall did take longer than I anticipated.
And then it doesn't take that much to take it down either. Like, just one section. I mean, if you were trying to take the whole thing, it'd take a while, but...
Or one grenade.
Yeah, that drop wall did not... Like, there were a few times where it seemed effective, but, like, drop wall, I'm scratching my head on, like, why is this in here?
It could definitely use a little tweaking. What'd you think about being able to carry multiples?
Honestly, I didn't really even play enough to really have that cross my mind.
How about you, Haas?
What was the question again? Sorry, I was looking.
How did you feel about being able to carry multiple drop walls?
I didn't mind it because I didn't feel like they were overpowered. In the camping demo, I saw that and I was like, ooh. But now that you can kind of see how it breaks apart, how you can kind of shoot through it, especially if you have multiple teammates shooting at it, that thing ain't going to be standing there very long. Plus, when you're throwing that thing, you still have about a second and a half before that thing's fully deployed, so you can still get shot through that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're already being shot beforehand and your opponent is hitting those shots, likely you're going to be down before that thing is fully deployed. So I didn't feel like it was overpowered. So carrying two or three, hey, could it be used to block off a grenade, like a grenade point or something like that? Absolutely. But I do think that gives you some things to think about while using that equipment or how you're going to approach a situation, because that can remove pre-fragging an area sometimes as a constant option for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be, I didn't feel like it was in a bad place. I felt the deploy time to just how I was seeing it being used, I felt like it actually worked pretty well.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's more designed to be more of a like a excess denial. You know, you pop it up in a doorway, and then as people come up to it, then you can step out around the corner and shoot through the wall after it's deployed. Not like the Halo 3 one where you can panic deploy it and it pops up right in front of you.
Right.
I mean, I definitely don't want the panic deploy, but it seems like once the little base of the shield finally pops down, it takes a second and a half to two full seconds for it to pop. And it's like,
yep. And Ian just said you can shoot the base of the wall and it gets destroyed. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that. Didn't even try that. Didn't even think to try that, honestly.
But, well, honestly, I just threw a grenade at it.
Some information for y'all out there. Yeah.
And it just disappeared.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree, Lurker. Don't want a panic wall that you can drop, but at the same time, it seems very slow to be an effective
I don't think piece they of equipment. Want panic equipment in this game.
No, and that's fine, but the usability of it just seems not great.
Even the grapple hook, like, yeah, you can escape, but I mean, you're hanging out there, and if somebody's hitting your shots, and the second you try and shoot back while you're on that grapple hook, you're cutting off that grapple hook.
Yep, I got killed while I was grappling, and then I killed someone else while they were grappling. And it was a bot, so it was a little bit easier, but...
I think this equipment's going to be cool to see in the competitive setting. I don't think the drop wall makes it in, but that grapple hook is pretty cool. And I wouldn't even mind the threat detector kind of finding its way in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I could see it
because it was so limited. Like if there was a standoff at a point in a match, we haven't seen all the maps, but if there's a map, you know, point where like, it's a 49-49 kind of situation and somebody gets a threat detector using that information. How are pros going to use that information and approach that situation would be pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will. And then the two maps we got were...
Three.
There were three?
Yep.
Yeah, we got Bazaar. We got... I can never
recharge.
Remember the react.
Oh, that's right. Bazaar, Recharge, and Lifefire. That's right.
Bazaar is GOAT. Like,
Bazaar reminds me a lot of Turf.
Yeah,
Turf on crack.
Yeah, well, like, just the vibe, and like I saw a lot of people say, yeah, like this is like the map that they were hoping to see.
That map to me was better than any map we have seen from 343 to date. That's how highly I think of that map. CTF on that map, or maybe even if we get bomb, woo, like I am excited by the possibilities of that map, and especially once we see like weapon placement and power up placement get kind of put around that map, there is a lot to like there. Recharge reminded me a lot of like a not cold storage, chill out, and a prisoner inspired map in terms of like rooms, layout, verticality. I kind of got pretty big vibes of those two. Like if they had a child.
Yeah, I could see that.
Livefire, I think is going to be a bad map. I did not like that map. If you control tower, any smart team, if you control that tower side, because you're going to have the power weapon right there in the middle. You got the tower wing off to the right with bridge. And then you got that entire brute field that somebody has to cross. That's going to be a very not fast-paced map to watch. And I've already heard issues because of the radar, people playing slower than we were versus bots because we were just flying around
Killing bots.
Yeah, killing bots. Yeah. But once PvP got initiated, people said the pace slowed down quite a bit, but it was still sweaty.
Which, I mean, we haven't exactly looked over it, but, I mean, bots is a thing.
Yeah.
It's not
I need to know PvP, what these bots are, because if that is meant to be a boarding process for people into the very difficult Halo multiplayer experience that I've never known, I guess. Granted, I'm an old timer. I've just never felt Halo was a hard game to figure out.
Well, it's not a hard game to figure out. It's just it's a hard game to master.
But you can't master it against bots.
But they can give you the opportunity to practice so that you're not as... It all depends on... It really all depends on what the final version of the bots are. What I saw in this preview, the bots are incompetent.
Yes. Inconsistently
yes.
incompetent.
They're obviously easy for a practiced Halo player to defeat. Granted, I got killed a lot by bots, but like I said, it just happens to be that every time I got killed by a bot, it was by a grenade. Because I don't know what they did with the bots and the grenades, but I swear the game was telling the bot where to throw the grenade so that it would land, you know, in my butt. But anyway, the bots can use some tweaking to be able to fill a role. I think 343 is wanting them to fill as a practice for brand new Halo players.
So what I'm hoping with these bots, I don't know what tech they're using behind it. My hope is they've partnered with the Forza team with the Drivatar tech where it learns how people drive and how players are playing the game. So these bots can adapt. And as you increase your difficulty, the closer it plays to a higher tiered player or how like somebody has mastered lap time, you know, they use like lap times, things like that. So I'm hoping that it's not just, you know, Halo difficulty AI. I do hope there is some learning in there in this AI that can help players adjust to that skill of a player. Like if a Spartan was, if we're just going to use Halo 5 rankings, maybe they're like a platinum Onyx tier, ODST is like a gold, silver, and then the Marine is a bronze. Like, I would feel a lot more comfortable with that, because then I know these players can go into these bot matches and really kind of tier up to seeing how people are playing that game today, because if these bots come in, we all have been around Halo long enough to know that the game changes every 3 months, how people are playing it. I mean, if you look at Halo 3 esports today versus 07 to 2011, these guys are playing it totally different than how I was playing Halo 3 competitive. And so they gotta have, I hope they have some system in place to help these bots kind of adjust to provide a ramp to the current Halo multiplayer experience, not just, here's your sidekick, go shoot some things that move.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, see, that's what I was kind of hoping they would give us a little bit of access to, is the, you know, the bot training mode, you know, where you could actually go play against a bot just on your own. It, as, you know, along with the weapon drills. I did play with the weapon drills a little bit, and okay, I can see where it can teach someone the mechanics of aiming. I don't know about refining it.
It's not a bad warm up.
It's a good warm up.
Yeah.
Back in
because Octagon, let's face it, Octagon is.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I mean, back in my day, I'd just jump on campaign, run new boss's streets with that sniper in the BR, bing bang boom. Okay, ran the intro, and I'm done. Like that was my warm up back in the day. Octagon, obviously, FFA midship, FFA guardian, or then became heretic, you know, that was always my warm up. But hey, if this is how people are going to feel more comfortable, great. I just hope that Microsoft IPs are sharing this information and tech to you know, make each other's products better. And we've seen instances of that. I hope 343, you know, can come out and kind of say that is what's happening, or maybe that's not. And, you know, that could be a piece of feedback for them that, like, I would like insight on how are they going to help these new players in year 1, 2, and 3. You know, if a player picks it up in 2 years, when they jump into multiplayer, that they're going to have a chance to kind of learn the game.
Mm-hmm.
If these bots are as important as they're saying. So that's all I am saying.
Yeah. Just ignore it. Just ignore it. It would be interesting to
see
what their plans are for bots too.
Yeah. The bots can use some work to do what I'm thinking they want them to do. But yeah, that's because the bots they had in the technical preview, don't get me wrong, like I said, I got killed by them a bunch, but they didn't feel like I was going against another player.
Yeah.
They became very predictable. You know, after just a little bit of playing time, you know, the bots really became predictable about what they were doing. On recharge, they ran straight to the power op, all four of them, every time. On on the first map, what was that? Damn it.
Livefire?
Yeah, Livefire. They always ran around the left-hand side of the map from spawn.
Yep.
I mean, grouped up, everybody throws a grenade over there, they're all dead. They just need to work on their unpredictability for that type of situation.
Yeah, I think every time I play, it got spectacular.
Yeah.
Like you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
Like I said, I only had like 2 or 3 games I didn't.
I forgot if we were talking about this on the podcast last week or someone else had mentioned it, but possibly one of the uses for this tech test is to gather some of that data to infuse into their whatever
algorithm. Increased difficulty kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To really put the AI up against players and see how they fare.
Yeah.
With the number of staketaculars that were handed out in those 4 days that probably exceed the amount of staketaculars that have been given in all 5 games.
Yep.
Since launch. Yeah.
I'm waiting for my stakes, 343.
Yeah, yeah, you owe me like 47 of them.
I'll take a filet, a New York strip, T-bone.
Just give me 10 of each and we'll call it even.
Yeah, just give me all the cuts. Yeah. Anyways, anything
back to
else?
The equipment.
Okay.
What do you guys think about as far as not having to actually pick it up? You just run over it and pick it up.
I'm fine with it. And if you want to swap it, you can swap it.
And yeah, I'm okay with it.
I was fine with that.
I mean, that's the way it's been for most games except Halo Reach, right? Halo 2 was just, it was just active camo and OS, and then Halo 3, that was all auto pickup.
But then you could swap it too. So as long as the swap's there, I'm good with it.
Halo 4 was auto pickup unless you already had one, then you could swap it, I think.
Yep. Ian wants to know, how do we feel about holding power-ups like a camo and an overshield? I really like that. I think that changes the pace of gameplay a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that back pocket thing, you know, it's like somebody hiding rockets in their back pocket and then whipping them out and then dropping them on you.
I did appreciate how it took a little bit of time for them to actually activate. Like there was the one clip during the whole multiplayer preview, and like there was a couple times where like I was going up against a bot who looked like they were about to activate OS or something. And there was just enough delay where I killed it and I could pick up that power up. So I think the delay that they have in there almost seems perfect to the activation. So for OS, you just can't spam it right there to get instant OS. There's a little bit of time. Kind of going back to the whole drop wall thing, it's not a panic button. You have to be a little bit more deliberate with it.
And then Lurko also wants to know, what about the grenades? Since you can only carry 2 types, how do you feel about swapping them?
That got a little annoying for me. Granted, I only played 6 games, so.
Yeah, I really didn't have a problem with it.
I felt like it would remove grenade spam a little bit.
Well, so here's part of my problem. I couldn't use grenade swap for the first two or three games I played, because as I was going and changing controller schemes, if you set your campaign or scoreboard button, your grenade swap button, or your equipment swap button to anything, it crashes the build, or it did for me.
I'll be honest, I never swap grenades. I would just throw the two I had in my pocket and then get the other ones equipped.
Well, like, so the default is left
on the D-pad.
And okay. Whenever I play like MCC or Halo 5, I typically take my look hand and hit the right on the D-pad. So I was trying to change it. Of course, I already had changed the left on the D-pad to something else. So when I tried to put the grenade to the right one, it crashed the game. And for some reason, when I loaded the build the first time, the campaign scoreboard button wasn't set. So when I tried to set that, it crashed the game.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's there's a lot of bugs still to work out.
Uh-huh. I guess the only last thing I really want to touch on is, how did we feel about the outline system now that we've actually seen it in action?
To me, it didn't really... I'm still not seeing the point of it, because, and granted, we were playing against bots for the most part, so there wasn't a lot of customization probably on the bots that you could see.
And they were always blue, which made it weird with the red outline.
Well, it also made because all your teammates were in the same damn armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you couldn't even see the customization unless you were right up on the person, because it had this blue outline or this overlay on them. Now, mm-hmm. I liked the overlay, like, so you could see your allies between walls, but having that, and it didn't seem consistent either. There were times where the overlay would be on top of somebody, or the outline would be there or not be there, and it didn't seem consistent.
I had it a few times where it wasn't on an enemy, and that, like, definitely threw me off. Lurker just said Quinn tweeted that they are going to change the readability of the shield, thankfully. I like that. One thing I kind of want... So I changed my colors, like a lot of people did, for the outline colors. So I switched my teammates all to green, and then I switched my enemies to yellow, because it kind of made it more of a classic shield break look, so I could kind of see it a little bit better. But the one thing I wish I could change was my crosshair would still be the blue to the red. And I know there's colorblind things to take into account here, but when my reticle was on an enemy, it would still be like a yellow, but a different hue of yellow. I didn't really care for that. I kind of liked the... Yeah, pineapple, baby!
Pineapple. So wait, your reticle changes color with the enemy color that you picked?
Yeah, so you know, like when you... Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
So I hope that's something maybe we can customize at game launch or maybe down the road. Because that definitely, I was like, wait, why isn't my reticle changing? But that was why.
Huh. I didn't even go in to change the colors to go in.
Yeah. So. I don't think I did until Saturday or Sunday afternoon. So.
Okay.
Yeah, by the time I thought about even trying it, it was over with.
How many games did you end up playing, Haas, outside of Freaking Friday?
Or GT
as well?
Can you see how many games you play?
I don't think you can.
I don't know.
I don't have my phone up here.
Is that beta site still up?
I honestly don't know. You were able to actually change your emblem and tag through the app.
Yeah, if you got into the beta app, you sure were.
Too bad you couldn't actually change it in game. You had to do it through the app. Now the app doesn't work anymore. Site.
Beta site is down. It is gone.
Which, the beta site was useless. It was a homepage with a few links, and everything else didn't really work when I tried it. It, it was like
I probably played in the range of 50 to 75 games.
Okay.
I'm probably around 30 to 50 games.
Because I played Thursday, I played Friday afternoon, Friday night, I played Saturday night, and maybe Saturday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and then Sunday afternoon and Sunday night.
I played the few games on Friday and Friday, and then I played two on Sunday.
Yeah.
I definitely played a lot, and I know people played more, so.
Yeah, I played Friday night.
Some of y'all need to get a life.
I played a little bit Saturday night, I probably only got maybe 5 or 6 games on Saturday night. I was just tired. And then Sunday I streamed for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours playing it. So.
Oh, nice. Nice. Overall, though, I like the gameplay. The gameplay seems fun. I just need to figure out the aiming mechanics. Still a few tweaks it sounds like they need to work on, but overall it seems like a fun game. Seems like everyone's happy with what they're seeing, so
I think we're off to a good start. If I had to give it a score, I'd probably give it like a 6.5 or 7, because I do think there was core elements there. Things need to be fixed. This was a 2-month-old build. I totally understand and respect that.
Oh, yeah.
And I know this is going to be in a much better place. But, you know, I'm just grading what I saw. Like, if this was a full game release, that's what I'd give it. But I do think there is a lot of promise for old and new Halo fans alike to kind of hold some hope in again. So I think we're off to a good start.
Me too. I enjoyed the flight or technical preview, however you want to put it. It was a lot of fun. I didn't encounter any really game breaking bugs to where the game actually crashed. The only real problem I had was, you know, the known matchmaking bug.
Mm-hmm.
The only real bugs I came across were ones that were known. So, yeah, I unfortunately didn't have a whole lot to add to what was already there. Honestly, the outline system, I need to play with it some more. So far, it's meh for me. I really need to play with it more and really get my head wrapped around it, because it's such a big change between having red and blue. And the only thing I can recommend is, as far as the bots, customize their armor, please. Make them any color but blue.
Yeah,
that
I'm a blue Spartan and I'm like, I can't do this right now.
Yeah, that's the only real thing I had in the flight, was everybody started blue and we're so ingrained to look for red armor, blue armor. They really should have changed the bot's armor. I don't care what color it was, as long as it's not red or blue. You'll make them all gray. I don't care. I think that would help the outline system work better.
Yep.
All right. Well, on other news, there was a new community spotlight that was posted today. Kind of shorter compared to some of the past ones.
All infinite, all the time.
There's a few non-infinite things in there, but yeah, that's over up on Waypoint now. Waze has a new little Halo feature for those that use the Waze Navigator. There is
downloaded
Master
it.
Chief. Oh, I the moment I saw the tweet, I changed it. So now I've got a Warthog and Master Chief for directions.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually GPS'd my way home from work.
Haven't had a chance to do that, but I got to go into church tomorrow to do the off-hours IT upgrade, so I'm definitely going to use it tomorrow.
Use it to find a restroom?
Just use it to drive there. But yeah, and Waze, if for those that use Waze, you can now have your vehicle be a Warthog or Ghost, a little vehicle icon, and then you can have navigations by either Eshram or Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. And then I guess, did Fall Guys or Free Guy premiere this past weekend or something?
Yeah, I think it premiered. And there seems to be a Mantis and a Warthog.
Oh, I didn't see the Mantis part. I just saw the...
It's on the movie cover.
Oh. Because I saw Ryan Reynolds and then Ninja with the Warthog. So, that happened last week as well. And then there's some Halo Infinite Krispy Kremes, which I hope those come to the U.S.
No, they can stay over there. I don't need any Krispy Kreme donuts. It's hard enough to resist enough to resist the ones they make already. Don't give me another excuse.
Yeah. I guess you make a point, but I want one.
Well, go to England and get one. This is a receptor while you're there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where it is, because
yeah.
the Xbox Mexico was the one that tweeted it out. But then I saw a tweet where someone else in a different country actually saw Pens Get Out. Pens Get Out. Anyways, final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I think there's a lot of things Halo fans can hold out some hope for. And I am excited to see what's next on this road to release. I'm cautiously optimistic.
I think that's a good standpoint, to be cautiously optimistic.
What I saw, I was very impressed with. They've done really well. They've done a really good job so far. Yes, it was an early beta test, and it had bugs in it. But I'm really looking forward. I'm even looking more forward to the next one to get a more polished build that's closer to what production's going to be and see what changes have been made between this build and the next one that we get.
Yeah, the polish will be a really exciting thing to see or not see, but I hopefully see.
I hope we get to see the big team side of things. And more of the equipment. See how the more complete sandbox feels.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, the repulsor.
Yeah, the repulsor looks fun. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see when the next tech preview or insider flight is. I mean, there's not a lot more time left, so I'm not sure how many more of these we're actually going to get before Infinite comes out. I'm hoping at least...
I hope 2 to 3.
I hope at least 2.
Yeah, I'm thinking to at least 2 more.
I don't think they could fit in 3, because if this is a November game, that's this month, next month, and then October. And if they're doing a fine October with a November release, what are they going to actually be able to put into the game at that point? So I think at best we get 2.
Well, the third one could be just a scale network test again. To test.
I think. Do a BTB. I think if we get a BTB and then maybe be Forge or maybe a complete multiplayer open beta where it's Arena and BTB. Mm-hmm. I think if we got both of those, I think that'd be, make the third one open, remove the insider barrier, and
that's actually not a bad idea.
Really drive up the hype and the excitement around the game before launch, and we're off we go.
Yeah, an October one being more like a traditional beta would be good. You can make it open to anybody with an Xbox account or Steam account and just let them go wild in it. And then that would also give you a good look at what, a network stress test as well. What
launch day is going to look like, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because they were definitely not ready for...
Oh, yeah, they weren't ready for pretty much everybody they invited to hit that server at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people did they invite? They should have expected that many people trying to access the website and download the freaking game. Like, I mean, it's happened on multiple previous releases of Xbox, where it's just not ready for launch day.
Yeah.
Like, you think they would learn by now.
It could also be part of the test. How much can each server handle in real life before it goes bonkers?
Maybe.
Because there's always the theoretical maximum, and then there's the actual maximum.
Not a bad point. Okay, well, that is going to wrap it up for our flight recap. Next week, we will probably be off on Thursday, and then I got to check with Prestige if he's still good for doing a weekend podcast, so we'll have him on for that show once we kind of figure out what specific time. But Halo Infinite's back in the can until the next flight. I'm glad you guys got some time to play, and hopefully my schedules align better next time so I can actually enjoy the game a little bit more.
Yeah, no doubt.
Here's hoping. You can check us out on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also check us out on our Discord server. That's where most of the community hangs out. And then you can find us on our Xbox Club and our Spartan Company. Yes, we are still trying to go for that Achilles helmet. No, we will not have it before Infinite comes out. But hey, here's for trying, right? You can find the podcast on all your favorite podcasting services. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, TuneIn, and wherever you can find podcasts. If there's a place that we are not, please let us know, and we will work to get the podcast on those platforms. Just a heads up for folks that are interested in the forging side of the Fiesta Frenzy contest. That is less than 2 weeks away from closing. So anyone working on those maps for Forge Hub,
get them in.
Time to get them in. Get them wrapped up. Get them in. I've got a chat with you guys on actually getting the tournament stuff ready for registration, and then figuring out the playlist for the specific game. So gotta work on that here pretty soon. You can find us on Twitch every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for our podcast. And then we also have our Fraggin' Fridays hosted by GT, where this week we will be back to choosing between MCC and Halo 5. Hop into our Discord, post your vote if you plan to join, and we will play whatever the community chooses to play for Fraggin' Friday. And then you can also find us on Sunday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time for Achieving Halo. We're still working on some of those Season 7 challenge grinds. At some point soon, we'll actually have a Xbox 360 achievement hunting night. Again, something I need to coordinate with GT and Haas to see when we want to do that. If you want to support the podcast, there's a number of ways you can do that. First and most effective is to just share us on social media. Let us, other people know about the podcast. Bring them on over to the live streams. Any kind of public knowledge out there that we can get helps. So whatever you are able to do, we appreciate. If you want to support monetarily, you can do so in a number of ways. You can subscribe to us on Twitch. You can become a Patreon, like Confal Pins and Prestige. Or you can donate to us through PayPal if you'd rather do that. Gentlemen, it has been a good flight. Hopefully we get one not too far out in the future.
Yeah, I'm hoping for next week.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll turn one around that quickly. So, all right, everybody, until then, keep on fragging them trucks.